are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, friends, if you have your Bible with you this morning, I invite you to turn to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. That well-known passage, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. Let's pray before we read. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. We ask now for the help of the Holy Spirit, that your word might accomplish your purpose in us, through us. Lord, we are now like Mary, sitting at your feet, listening to your word. Speak. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The people of God said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, hear now the word of God. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones. And say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you. And you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds. And breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, This is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to talk to you today about the joy of divine turnaround. No matter what you are going through, no matter what this church is going through, no matter how hopeless or impossible it seems, God can intervene and turn it around. Amen. There is nothing so broken that God can't fix it. There is nothing so sick that God can't heal it. There is nothing so dead that God can't bring it to new life. The Bible says that God is able. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. The Lord specializes in hopeless situations. The Lord has a track record of being faithful, a track record of making the impossible possible. The Bible tells us with just five loaves of bread and two fish, the Lord Jesus fed 5,000 people. When the disciples were in a boat tossed by a storm, they just knew they were going to drown. But then Jesus stood up in the boat, told the wind and the waves to be quiet and still, and suddenly all was calm. The Lord Jesus even healed a man born blind. Testifying to the miracle that happened, the healed man said, "No one has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind." Yes, friends, the Lord specializes in hopeless situations. How many times do we read in the Bible about hopeless situations in which the people of God are just in a terrible situation? They are going down for the count. And then we encounter those glorious words, But God, the Israelites were caught between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea, but God parted the sea. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, but God shut the mouths of the lions. Paul and Silas were stripped, beaten, and put in jail for preaching Jesus and casting out demons. But God caused an earthquake that opened the prison doors. Lazarus was dead, super dead. He'd been in the tomb for days. Jesus said, "Go open the tomb." And they said, "But Lord, he's been in there for days, and he's starting to stink at this point. He is really, really dead." But then the Lord said, "Lazarus, come out." And the man came out of the tomb. The Lord specializes in hopeless situations. Listen, the only reason you are a born again, spirit indwelled, saved believer in Jesus is because of a but God experience. For the Bible says that before Jesus came, you and I were lost, separated from God, living under his wrath and condemnation because of our sin. We were in a horrible place. We were on our way to that place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. But God came into our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Get that this morning. Your Christian life began with the joy of a divine turnaround from lost to saved, from hell-bound to heaven-bound, from condemnation to grace. Through Jesus Christ, God intervened in your life and turned it around. And now you and I live, move, and have our being within the realm of God's turnaround power. So, again, no matter what you're going through today, the Lord is able. No matter what you're going through today, the Lord is able to bring light out of darkness, healing out of sickness, freedom out of bondage, reconciliation out of division, strength out of weakness, and life out of death. God is able. He is able to open the door that the devil has locked shut. God is able. He's able to bring joy in the morning out of a nighttime of weeping. God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way at all. And my sisters and brothers, the cross of Jesus and his empty tomb declare that the morning has indeed dawned. The dawn shines on you and your situation. Yes, no matter how hopeless it looks, God can turn it around. Somebody say, God can turn it around. Come on, say it again. God can turn it around. That's what our text from Ezekiel 37 is about. The prophet Ezekiel had a vision of a valley. A valley of dry, dead bones. And those bones represented the condition of God's people. Can I give you some background to the text? Can I teach for a minute? Can I get into teach mode for a minute? Yes. The prophet Ezekiel and the people of God were in a time of great despair and hopelessness. In their hearts and minds, it was time to give up and give in as the last gasp of their hope was choked out by their terrible circumstances. They had become a conquered people. God's people had been overwhelmed by the enemy. You see, for years, the Lord sent warnings through the prophets telling them that judgment was coming. If they didn't stop their rebellion, if they didn't stop their sinful lifestyles, if they didn't stop their idolatry, if they didn't stop their mistreatment of the poor, if they didn't stop their false and insincere worship, if they didn't stop neglecting his word, God told them over and over and over again through the prophets that if they didn't keep his word, they would be under his punishment. Well, God's people would not listen. They just would not listen. And so in 586 BC, God took God's hand of protection off of the nation. And the Babylonian Empire, the greatest military power the world had known, invaded and conquered God's people. And they not only conquered the nation of Israel, they destroyed it. Jerusalem was leveled. The temple was destroyed. The people were slaughtered. And those who were not killed were scattered to the various nations, many to Babylon itself. For Israel, it was a time of fragmentation, annihilation, alienation, subjugation, and disorientation. Historians say that the Babylonians not only conquered Israel, they wiped the nation off the map. Israel at that time was gone. The psalmist in Psalm 137 gives us some insight into what they felt. The psalmist writes, By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. For our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of those songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a foreign land? Enfolded by the dank stench of defeat, death, and despair, the people of God wept when they realized how far they had fallen. Friends, there needs to be some weeping in the church today. There needs to be some weeping in the church today when we realize spiritually how far we have fallen. Verse 11 of our text. In verse 11, the exiled people of God described what they were going through with three statements. They said, first of all, in verse 11, they said, our bones are dried up. That is, they felt spiritually dry and lifeless. Spiritually, they needed a renewal and a restoration that they could not make happen on their own. They couldn't bring about the spiritual renewal that they needed in their own strength. Oh, that sounds like today. The church needs a Holy Spirit renewal that we can't make happen in our own strength, but we know we need it. There's a dryness in the church today. Two, they said, our hope is gone. That is, they saw no way out of the situation they were in. They'd been captured by the enemy. The enemy had declared checkmate. They saw no way out. And if the truth were told this morning, some of us have lost hope for the growth of this church. Some of us have lost hope and think, well, this is just how it is, so let's just ride it out to the end. Verse 11, they said, our hope is gone. Third, they said in verse 11, they said, we are cut off. That's how they felt. They said, we are cut off. That is, they felt cut off from God. They felt like withered branches cut off from the life-giving vine. Listen, friends, for the people of Ezekiel's day, social, political, economic, and personal disaster came upon them because of their spiritual neglect. You see, the people in Ezekiel's day were drowning in hopelessness because of their own sin. They were reaping what they sowed. Much of what we are experiencing in our world, in our nation, in our church, and in our own lives is the result of our own sin. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Hosea 8, verse 7 says, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. Oh, things were bad. Things were bad for Israel. They were really bad. Really bad. And then I hear the word of the Lord spoken through Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. Divine turnaround. In spite of their sin, and in the face of their hopeless situation, God was promising a new day. Oh, friends, it ain't over until God says it's over.
You might be under God's hand of chastisement, but it ain't over until God says it's over. The prophet said in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That is, he was in the spirit having a vision. He said, the spirit of the Lord set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. There were a great many, and they were very dry. It was a scene of total devastation. There had been a slaughter, and the animals had long since picked the meat off the bones, and now the bones were bleached and dried out by the sun. Now notice what the Lord had the prophet do. Notice what God told the prophet to do, because this is instructive for us today. We can take what God told the prophet and apply that for us today. Notice what God told the prophet to do. Verse 2. He led me back and forth among the bones. God made the prophet walk among the bones. If you and I are going to be open in our day to the power of God to turn our situation around, first, to be open to divine turnaround, acknowledge the pain of what you're going through. Don't bury your head in the sand. Don't pretend like you don't see it. Don't act like there are not any problems. Acknowledge the pain of what you're going through. God led the prophet to walk among the bones. Ezekiel could feel the dry bones under his feet. He could hear them crunch. He could see the devastation. Our society teaches us to do whatever we need to do to numb the pain. Excessive television, excessive eating. For some, it's drugs and alcohol. For others, it's overworking. Anything but face what you need to face. Many of us have stuff from the past that we've pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. And the Lord says, let it up. Walk among those bones. Get those skeletons out of the closet, because you can't heal it if you don't reveal it. All of us have some stuff, some pain from the past that keeps us bound in the present and threatens our future. If anybody says that they don't have some stuff, they are not telling the truth. All of us could use some time on a therapist's couch. That's why the Bible says that God is a wonderful counselor. In the days of old, in the old days, people used to say in little country churches, people used to say that God is a heart fixer and a mind regulator. There's so much pain from the past that we press down. So much stuff from yesteryear or yesterday that we suppress. So many wounds and hurts that we have not brought into the light of God's healing. If we keep those things in the darkness, they will become toxic and begin to poison our souls. Recently, I was watching the show on the Oprah network called Ilyana Fix My Life. This particular episode featured three generations of women who would fist fight, yell, and curse with shocking violence. Grandma, mom, and daughter. It was discovered during the course of the show that the grandmother was threatened, spat upon, and treated like dirt growing up in a segregated Georgia town. She didn't know how to handle the pain, and so she behaved violently toward her daughter. Her daughter didn't know how to handle the pain of her mother's violence, and so she behaved violently and took it to another level toward her daughter. Listen to me. They did not begin to heal the situation until they faced the pain. You can't heal what you won't reveal. Bring it out into the light of God's grace and mercy. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. God is for you. If God did not withhold his own son in order to save you, how will he not also give you what you need to heal your heart? So the first thing God had the prophet Ezekiel to do was to walk among the bones. Walk among the bones. Feel the pain. Stop trying to avoid the situation. What are the bones in your life that you are avoiding? What are the bones in this church that we are avoiding? Walk among the bones. If you want to be open to divine turnaround, first acknowledge the pain. Acknowledge the pain of what you're going through and what you've been through. Second, if you want to be open to your divine turnaround, speak the word of the Lord. Speak the word of the Lord. Some call this has different labels in different denominations and parts of the body of Christ. Some, in our denomination, we would call it confessing the word. Others who might be Pentecostals call it getting into agreement with the word. It's the same thing. Confessing the word, getting into agreement with the word is the same thing. And it's this. It's you line up what you say about your situation with what God says about it. Because the word of God is alive and active. The word of God will bring renewal and restoration. Confessing the word, getting into agreement with the word, is simply to say what God says about your situation. While Ezekiel was in that valley of dry bones, the Lord asked, "Son of man, can these bones live?" Now, of course, humanly speaking, it is impossible to take a valley of dry bones and turn them into living, breathing people again. Humanly speaking, it was impossible for the Jews to leave the grip of Babylon. And many of you are facing situations that are humanly impossible. And deep down, we know that it is humanly impossible to bring renewal and growth to this church. We know we don't have the strength to do it. Son of man, can these bones live again? Can DeRida Church live again? Ezekiel said, "Lord, you know. You know what you're gonna do." And so God said to him in verse 4, "Prophesy." Prophesy, watch this. God said, "Prophesy to the bones." Prophesy to the bones. So you walk among the bones. Now prophesy to the bones. Now understand that prophecy, or to prophesy, does not simply mean to tell the future. It means that, but not only that. It also means to say what God says about the future. That's really the heart of prophecy, to say what God says about the future. And we've got to learn to say what God says about our dry bones. Not whine, not complain, not moan, but speak the word of the Lord. Prophesy to the bones. We've got to learn to say what God says about our dry bones. We might see dead bones. We might walk among dead bones. We might see bones, but we speak life. Say what God says. Say what God says about the church. Here's what the word says about the church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. That's what we should say about the church. We're not the frozen chosen. We're people filled with the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. We're not a church that lacks resources. God is not telling us to do things and not giving us the resources. We are not a church that can't do because we don't have resources. Because the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You've got to say what God says about the church. The Bible says that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Say what God says about the church. And listen, there's probably not a person in this room this morning who doesn't believe that the Bible is the word of God. What I'm saying to you is that we need to be more intentional about speaking it. We need to speak the word of God to our dry bones, and we need to speak it to our own souls. We need to say to ourselves, you know what? I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I am a new creation in Christ. Oh, he will never leave me nor forsake me. God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones, son of man. Speak the word of the Lord to the bones. Verses 7 and 8. So I prophesied. The prophet said, so I prophesied as I had been commanded. Watch this. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Those dry bones became people again. How? By the power of the word of God. The word of God has the power to renew and restore. It is alive and active. It does not return to God empty, but it accomplishes God's purpose. In Isaiah 55, God says, as the rain and snow fall on the earth and bring forth plants, so shall my word be. It'll go to you and it will not return to me void. It'll accomplish my purpose. If you want to prepare for the power of divine turnaround in your life and in the church, then speak the word of the Lord. To be open for your divine turnaround, acknowledge the pain. 2, speak the word. 3, seek the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Seek the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. At the end of verse 8, Ezekiel looked at the newly formed bodies formed by the word. He spoke in the words and bones came together and flesh came upon them. But he said, there's no breath in them. Oh, we need in the church today both word and spirit, both teaching and spirit. The spirit empowers that which has been formed by the word. Verse 9, then he, that is God, said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe on these slain that they may live. The words wind and breath take us back to the book of Genesis when the Spirit of God breathed life into Adam. Adam had been formed, Adam had been shaped, Adam had been made, but it took the Spirit to give life. Those newly formed bodies in Ezekiel's valley looked good on the outside, but they were still dead on the inside. And so Ezekiel called on the Spirit to come from the four winds, the text says. That is, he prayed for a full filling, a full moving of the Holy Spirit. Not a little dab of do-ya, not a little bit of Holy Spirit, not a little bit of Spirit, because we Presbyterians get a little bit uncomfortable with Holy Spirit talk. But he prayed for a full filling of the Holy Spirit. He said, these bones are dead, 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 and we need a filling of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 10, it says, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Oh, as you pray during the prayer vigil, pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in this church. That's what we need. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want to be open to your divine turnaround, acknowledge the pain, speak the word, seek the Holy Spirit. Fourth and finally, trust Jesus no matter what. Trust Jesus no matter what. Your day, your turnaround may come tomorrow, next week, or some other time. That's up to the timetable. Is up to, we can follow all of these things that we've just been saying, but we can't set God's timing. That's up to the Lord. Who knows when God will choose to intervene and turn things around in your situation? But in the meantime, what you do is keep trusting Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. The people of God were in Babylon for 70 years before the nation was restored. And some of you here this morning are stretching out your faith. You're stretching out your faith for something. You're believing God, trusting Jesus for something. Maybe it's for your children. Maybe it's for your grandchildren. Maybe it's for your church. Maybe it's for your own life. Whatever it is, don't stop trusting Jesus, because he sets the time when he's going to act and move and bring about your turnarounds. So you just keep trusting Jesus. Listen to the last two verses of our text, verses 13 and 14. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. Oh, friends, even if they threaten to take your job away, keep trusting Jesus, because the Lord has spoken and he will act. Even when the doctor gives you news that you don't want to hear, keep trusting Jesus. In the middle of chemotherapy treatments, keep trusting Jesus. When you don't see how things are going to get better, keep trusting Jesus. When you're working and working and you don't see anything happening, keep trusting Jesus. When you're tired of waiting for your situation to change, keep trusting Jesus. When you're tempted to lose hope, when you're ready to throw in the towel, keep trusting Jesus, because the Lord has spoken and he will act. Even when you close your eyes in death, even when you breathe your last breath, it ain't over. It ain't over. Even at the point of death, keep trusting Jesus, because the Bible declares that the day will come when the trumpet will sound and the Lord Jesus will descend and the dead in Christ will rise. And in that great getting up morning, we will all see clearly what we now see in a mirror dimly. We will all see the fulfillment of everything, of everything, of everything God has promised. My brothers and sisters, the cross and the empty tomb declare this to be so. Yes. So rejoice in your divine turnaround, because it's coming. 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 Oh, y'all don't act like you believe it. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I said it's coming. I said it's coming to Rider Church. It's coming. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.